Welcome to the Vintage Church NOLA podcast. Vintage Church is a multi-church, multi-city movement of truth, love, and community. For information, visit vintagechurchmovement.com. Here is this week's message.
Welcome to Vintage Church. If I've never met you before, my name is Dustin Turner. I serve as the lead pastor of Vintage Church. And we are in the final week of our quarter one, deep and wide. And so every quarter, we are going to introduce a new deep spiritual habit and a new wide spiritual habit with you. And so last week, the week before that, we kind of introed the entire series and showed how Jesus modeled for us the rhythm for the Christian life, going both deep and wide. And then last week, we looked at Philippians chapter 3, and we saw how Paul taught us about forgetting our past vision and focusing on our future vision. And we talked about how we can do that through the rule of life. And so I really want to encourage you to make sure you have your deep and wide booklet out. This is going to be a great place not only for resources, but also tonight, this weekend, where you can take notes. And so if you want to turn to page 12 and page 13, that kind of gives you a rough outline of my sermon notes, as well as some space for you to take notes. Also, I want to encourage you to visit the website, nola.vcmvmt.com/deep and wide. You're going to see some screenshots that what you'll find on that web page. There's just kind of an overview of deep and wide that you will find there. You're going to find some general resources that we have up on that website. And also every quarter, there is a link that you can click for each deep and wide habit. And so go to that quarter page and you will see that. So every quarter, like if you click that Rule of Life resource button right now, here's what's going to pop up. The sermon from last week, sermon notes, V-group study, recommended resources, and we are going to be adding things to that webpage continually throughout the year. And so next week, you'll see the evangelism content up as well. All of that's there. Also, we've got, a ton of resources on our website. There's resources out in the atrium that I'm going to talk about a little bit as well. I really want to encourage you, dig in. Let's go deep. Let's go wide together. So like I said, last week, we talked about how we can go deep when we utilize a rule of life to forget our past and focus on our future. And the whole point of going deep and wide is this: Vintage Church will grow deep by focusing on who we are becoming in Jesus, and at the same time, we'll grow wide by focusing on who we are inviting into Jesus. And so what we're going to talk about today is the first wide spiritual habit, evangelism. Now, this might sound crazy, but when I started to think about evangelism this week, I thought about brand ambassadors. Is everybody familiar with a brand ambassador? If you're on social media, they're all over the place, right? People get paid money to do practically nothing, right? So I thought about brand ambassadors like, you know, Tiger Woods. The only clothing that you see Tiger Woods compete golf in is what? Nike, right? Our leadership team this week kind of called me out on a man crush that I might have. But one of the guys that I'm just really interested in is Dwayne The Rock Johnson, right? I know that sounds crazy, but how a guy who was a pro wrestler could have his hand in so many different things. And so one of the shows that my kids love to watch is the Titan Games, if you've never seen that before. Fun show that he hosts and he kind of produces. But if you ever see Dwayne The Rock Johnson working out, I guarantee you that he has on his special Under Armour clothing that they have created for him, right? You think about these people that are brand ambassadors. Brand ambassadors share about the product, not only because they get paid, that's true, but because they've experienced the product and believe in it. Now, we were just singing a song, right, that Jesus changes everything. That includes what? Us. And so if we've experienced Jesus, should we not be brand ambassadors for Jesus. And that's what I want us to think about as we unpack Scripture today. Here's kind of the big idea. We can go wide when we faithfully share the gospel with another person. We can go wide when we faithfully share the gospel with another person. If you want to know a simple, basic, but helpful definition as we begin to unpack evangelism, that is it. Faithfully sharing the gospel with another person. Because for some of us, what we get caught up in is making a convert, right? Sharing Jesus, that person believing in Jesus and becoming a Christian and disciple of Jesus. But that's not evangelism. Because here's the thing, you and I, we can't change people, right? The song we just sang didn't say, Dustin changes everything. Jesus changes everything, amen? So our responsibility as followers of Jesus is simply to faithfully share the gospel. The results are up to God. So if you have a Bible, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to be there. It's in the New Testament toward the back end of your Bibles. 2 Corinthians is a letter that Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, his second letter that we have that he wrote to them. And what he does in the book of 2 Corinthians is honestly defend his ministry to the Corinthians. And so everything that we are going to read in verses 16 through 21 of 2 Corinthians is Paul defending his ministry. But what I want you to understand is that everything Paul says about his ministry has direct implications for our ministry. And so let's look at 2 Corinthians 5. Verses 16 through 21 together. This is what Paul writes. He says, "From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him, that's Jesus, to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Now, we're going to bounce around a little bit, but here's the question that I want us to think about from this passage. Why should we practice evangelism? Why should we practice evangelism? Number one, because of Jesus, we are entrusted with the gospel. Because of Jesus, we're entrusted with the gospel. And here's what we see from this passage. Number one, we've received the report. And the report is what Paul talks about, the message of reconciliation. It's another way for Paul to say the gospel, the good news, the story of Jesus, what Jesus has done for us. Look at what he says in verse 19. In Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. That is, in a nutshell, the message of the gospel. That God sent his son Jesus to earth to die for our sins that we might be made right with God. That's the message of reconciliation. And there's a need for reconciliation. Why? Because we have offended God. Because Adam and Eve, our earthly first parents, disobeyed God, offended God. And because of that, we are separated from God. Not just because we're born with a sinful nature, but because one day every single person will commit sin. And so there is a state of hostility between us and God. There's a broken relationship between us and God. And what Paul says is that the message received is this message of reconciliation. It's the gospel. And here's the incredible thing to me about this message is that God, the offended party, takes initiative for reconciliation. Not us, the offender, right? We're not seeking out after God. God, please forgive me. God, make things right. No, no, no. God, without us asking, sent his son Jesus to make our relationship with him right. Now, we've already been talking about this, but I want to go to another place in Scripture, in Paul's first letter, 1 Corinthians 15, to answer this question. How did God take initiative for reconciliation? This is, if you want to know, the best summary of the gospel message, this is it in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 through 4. Here's what Paul says. For I delivered to you as of first importance. What he's saying is, I shared this with you, and this was the most important thing that I could have and did tell you. Number one, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. So he died on the cross, not just to die on the cross, but to die for our sins. He came for a particular mission, for a particular purpose. Number two, verse four, that he was buried. You know how someone, you know someone died? They're buried. So that Jesus was buried. And then number three, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. So that Jesus, yes, died for our sins, was buried, but he didn't stay dead. He rose 3 days later, defeating sin, death, and hell. And Paul is saying, listen, this is the message of reconciliation. This is what God did on your behalf. This is the message that you and I are entrusted with. That we would tell people that, listen, Jesus died for you. He rose for you. And that three, and then if you would simply respond to that message. See, that's the thing about the gospel, and that's why someone has to tell someone about the gospel, is that the message of Jesus always requires a response. Always. Even in the New Testament, people either accepted Jesus or they rejected Jesus. And so the message of the gospel, what the Bible says, what the Scriptures say, is that the response is to repent, to turn away from our sins, to recognize the way we have been living is not the way that God intended for us to live. It's an offense to God. And in faith, believing and trusting that Jesus did in fact die on the cross for your sins and raise from the grave, you believe in Jesus. And then the Bible says our response to that gospel, our physical response, is baptism, where we proclaim to the world that Jesus has saved us, where we go under the water and come up out of the water, where everyone around sees that that person follows Jesus. So we've received this report. But here's what Paul also says. He says, we're given the responsibility. Look at verse 18. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Now here's the thing. Whose ministry is it? What does he say in verse 18? All this is from whom? Starts with a G, capital G. All this is from whom? God. So guess what? It's not our ministry. It's not ours to begin with. This week, you know, we had an inauguration, right? I get into politics. I listen to all the podcasts. It's entertaining for me, honestly, but also educational. One of my favorite shows is The West Wing. Anybody ever seen The West Wing? You watched all of it? Oh, you got to watch all of it. All of it is great. I was so disappointed. I was really excited, you know, with the inauguration. I want to go back on Netflix and rewatch with The West Wing. Guess what's not on Netflix anymore? The West Wing. But I thought about The West Wing this week with the inauguration. And one of the things that happened often in that show, The West Wing is all about not really the president, but more about his staff that worked in The West Wing. And whenever they would get in trouble or they were going to get fired or they had to do something that they didn't want to do, they would always say this: I serve at the pleasure of the president. Now here's the thing. You and I, we serve at the pleasure of God. It's not our ministry. It's God's ministry, right? I remind often our staff, our V group leaders, I remind them, listen, that V group is not your V group. This church is not my church. It's God's. The ministry that we have been given responsibility of is God's, and he's given it to us. And here's the thing about the Christian faith, right? The Christian life is not just about receiving. We just talked about the goodness of the gospel. We're going to continue to talk about it. We're thankful that we've received the gospel, that we've received it, that we have life in Christ, that we've been forgiven. But here's the thing, the Christian life is also about giving. Because it's not our ministry, it's only something we've received. What do we do back? We give it back. It's not our ministry. We're simply given the responsibility. Verse 20, Paul continues and he says this: we're assigned the role. So we've received the report, the significance of the gospel. We're given the responsibility, but we're also assigned the role. Look at what he says in verse 20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Now again, political, right? Ambassadors serve at the pleasure of the president. And when they are in another country and you visit that ambassador in another country, who is that ambassador representing? For the United States of America, they represent whom? The president. So it's as if you meet the ambassador and have a conversation with the ambassador, it is as if you meet the president and have a conversation with the president. And that's exactly what Paul is saying. That the role we've been given as ambassadors of Christ is that when someone meets you and I, it's as if they meet Christ himself. And it's our responsibility then to do what? The very things that Jesus did. Yes, we talk about it all the time, being the hands and feet of Jesus, but also doing what? Proclaiming the message of Jesus. That's what Jesus did. He said, the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe. So my question for us is, if we've been entrusted with the gospel, how are we doing with it? If Jesus came to you and said, how are you doing with my message? How would you answer that question? How would I answer that question? Because that's the message that we've been entrusted with. That's what we have been given to be responsible with and to steward. And in 2 Corinthians 5, that's what Paul is getting at. He's saying, listen, church in Corinth, this is the message Christ has given me. This is what I'm responsible for. And listen, just because you're not an apostle, just because you didn't see the risen Jesus, doesn't mean you're not entrusted with the gospel. If you've experienced the saving power of Jesus, if you've been changed by Jesus, let me tell you, you've been entrusted with the gospel. So we're entrusted with the gospel, but I want us to keep thinking about that question. Why should we practice evangelism? Because one of the things that Paul does in 2 Corinthians 5 is he also gets at what the gospel accomplishes. So we're entrusted with the gospel, But also, I want you to see this. Without Jesus, we're left in our sin. Look at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. Paul writes this. He says, "For our sake, he made him," God made Jesus, "to be sin, who knew no sin, so that for the purpose of in him," in Christ, "we might become the righteousness of God." So what's the message again that we've been entrusted with? It's the gospel. What did the gospel accomplish? Look at what 2 Corinthians 5 teaches us about the gospel. Number one, we're sinful by nature and will inevitably sin. That's understood in this one verse, because he talks about God making Jesus sin. Why? Because we're sinful, right? Part of the message of the Christian scriptures is that every single human has a sin nature, meaning we are inclined to sin and we will inevitably sin. So that's the first part of this. But number two, the better news is that Christ by nature is righteous and will never sin. So we're sinful and by nature will sin. Christ by nature is righteous and will never sin. Number three, Christ became our substitute, bearing our sin and the consequences of our sin. So the incredible news is Jesus didn't deserve to die and experience the wrath of God for our sin. But what Jesus did is he went to the cross, not only took our sin, but took the consequences for our sin. And then here's the incredible part about this. Lastly, we have now received Christ's righteousness and are reconciled to God. That's what Paul is getting at. There's this divine swap happening where Jesus, who is righteous, we who are sinful, swap places. Christ takes our sin, we take Christ's righteousness, and then we are no longer left in our sin. That's good news, right? Now here's the thing. I've shared this before. I'm a type 1 diabetic. Right, so I know because I've experienced the symptoms of being a type 1 diabetic. When you're a type 1 diabetic, things like thirst happen. You get really thirsty. And because you're really thirsty, then you drink a lot, then you pee a lot, right? You get blurry vision. Unbeknownst to me, you experience weight loss. All of those things are symptoms of being a type 1 diabetic. When I became a diabetic, I didn't know those things, but after being a diabetic for 14 years of my life, I know that those are symptoms. And so if you come to me and you talk about being thirsty all the time, and you talk about having to use the restroom all the time, and you talk about losing a lot of weight all of a sudden, I'm immediately going to think maybe you have type 1 diabetes. Now listen, I've gotten that wrong before. Okay? I am a doctor, but I am not a medical doctor. I'm a doctor of the mind, right? So one time we were on a day retreat, and Pastor Weaver was experiencing vertigo, right? But everything that he was talking about sounded like low blood sugar. So I'm like, man, you just need to keep drinking a Coke. Just drink a Coke, drink a Coke. He drank like 10 Cokes that day. Nothing worked, right? Again, I'm not a medical doctor. But here's the incredible thing, right? As a type 1 diabetic, I know when someone's experiencing those symptoms. And what would you think of me if I didn't tell that person, hey, you might want to go to the doctor because you might have diabetes? What if I just left that information inside and never told you? Number one, you'd be in real danger within a few days or weeks. And that's the truth of the gospel, that if we don't tell other people, they are left in their sin. And here's the thing about sin and God, they don't mix. And so if you live your life left in sin and Christ doesn't take your sin, you are eternally separated from God. The Bible talks about hell. Hell being a real place. And listen, the point is not to scare you about going to hell or giving you this guilt trip that, listen, if you don't tell your friends, family, neighbors, coworkers about Jesus, they're going to hell. But that's reality. And the challenge for us is that we would be motivated to tell people the good news of Jesus because we believe that it truly changes everything. And so, who do you know that is without Jesus and left in their sin? Does anybody know anybody that doesn't know Jesus? Just a show of hands. That's what I thought. So the gospel removes sin, but here's the last point. We should practice evangelism because with Jesus, we're made new. 2 Corinthians 5:17, it's the very second verse that we read. Paul says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. That idea of a new creation, the old passing, the new coming, is this idea of regeneration. It's what theologians call regeneration, where it's a mighty work of God, where unbelievers are given a new nature, being born again. Jesus talked about that in John chapter 3. He's having a conversation with Nicodemus, and Jesus begins to tell him, you must be born again. And Nicodemus is like, listen, I'm a grown man. I can't be born again. Jesus is like, no, you don't understand. It's exactly what Paul is saying. You must be made new. You must be changed. Now, I want you to think about this from the positive angle. How many of us are ready to share good news? Right? I mean, think about all the things that you post on social media. You share about your birthday. By the way, today's Pastor Weaver's birthday. Happy birthday, Pastor Weaver, right? You share about birthdays when your kids are born. You share about their births. When you pass a big test, you share about that test. When something big happens in your life, you want other people to know. Why? Because you want them to know the good news. You want them to celebrate with you. And just as much the gospel is about getting people out of their sin and hopefully that they wouldn't go to hell and hopefully that they would trust in Jesus, it's also about sharing good news. Then listen, I want you to know what Jesus has done for me, how incredible he is and how he's changed me and how I'm better because of Jesus. Right? We should want to share that, not be scared of that. Who do you know that needs Jesus so they can be made new? Who do you know? Now, what did I say at the very beginning? Right, we don't change people. Some of you probably have been sharing the gospel with the same person for years, praying and hoping that they would come to know Jesus. And listen, it's not up to you to change them. But just because they haven't accepted that message now doesn't mean they don't need that message still. And so you share it. So if we know why we should share, then how do we practice evangelism? Here's where we get to the nuts and bolts of evangelism. I want to encourage you with just a few things. Number one, if you look at your guidebook, pages 32 and 33, you are going to see, just like the rule of life, some practice. Now, yes, we're going to talk about this in just a moment, and this is kind of like the nuts and bolts of evangelism, knowing the message, but at the same time, it's prayer and it's proclamation. Who are you praying for that they would know the gospel? Who have you told? What was that experience like? So you've got practice there. I want to encourage you to be here March 21st, it's Sunday night, 5 p.m. We are going to have a conversation on evangelism as an opportunity to equip all of us. Two more resources out in our lobby. One is how to talk about Jesus without being that guy. Right? Now, all of us probably have that fear. And what this book does is talk less about what the message of the gospel is and more about how do we share, how do we be a good Christian? How do we befriend people? How do we love people? How do we live with intentionality? We're going to talk about the three circles, but this is a resource out there as well. Take these if you want. These are totally free and a helpful tool in sharing your faith. And lastly, this week in our V groups, we're going to talk about evangelism. And so those are just some helpful resources that I want to encourage you in. But here's three simple questions as we think about not just sharing the gospel, but showing the gospel. Number one, are you living as a Christian? It's really difficult to share the message of the gospel if you're not living out the message of the gospel. Here's another question. Do people know that you are a Christian? If the people that you work with, live next to, are friends with, don't know you're a Christian, you need to change that. Somehow, you've got to tell them that you follow Jesus. Number two, are you loving as a Christian? You can't just expect to share the message of Jesus but not care about people. Sharing the message of Jesus is about caring for people. So as you share, maybe there's an opportunity to meet a need. How can you love as a Christian? Number three, are you listening as a Christian? Are you listening? And here's what I mean by that. Are you listening for opportunities to share? Because there are going to be opportunities where someone is hurting, someone is suffering, someone wants to know why, someone has faith questions. And as a follower of Jesus, you have to be looking and ready and listening for those moments to where then you can share the message of Jesus. So we show the gospel, but we also have to share the gospel. It's a challenge for all of us. We can't just be praying for our friends. We can't even just be inviting them to church. Listen, I love that. That's exciting. People's lives are changed by that. But there comes a moment when you are in a conversation or in a relationship with someone that you have to share the gospel. And so, simple tool, we've talked about this in the past, the three circles. It starts with God's design. Genesis 1 and 2, in the beginning, everything was perfect. God created everything, and the most important thing that was perfect was our relationship with God. There was no need for reconciliation. We were in relationship with God. But Genesis 3 happened, and then sin entered our world. And when sin entered our world, that was disobedience on our part. And then what happened was brokenness. Brokenness, meaning our relationship with God was completely broken. If you see the three circles, you see those kind of like squiggly lines, right? Those are all ways in which we've tried to make things right, get back to God. But in our brokenness, we cannot get back to God. And that's where what we've been talking about comes into play, the gospel. Jesus, who is God, came to earth, put on flesh, lived a perfect life, went to the cross, died for our sins, and rose from the grave. And if we would then respond by repenting and believing, the Bible says we'll be saved. And what happens is we recover and pursue God's design. We recover God's design by being reconciled to God, and then we begin to pursue the way in which God wants us to live our lives in relationship with Him. That is the gospel. And that's just a simple tool to help you conceptualize the message of Jesus. Here's what I know. Every single person has experienced sin and brokenness. They've committed sin, and they feel broken. They've experienced sin, and they feel broken. And they look around our world and see sin and brokenness. If you know, love, and follow Jesus, you have the message that fixes the problem. And so it's our responsibility as followers of Jesus to share that message, to faithfully share the good news of Jesus. As we close, I want you to close your eyes. If you're home, I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to think about your own story. I want you to think about who you are. I want you to think about what you've experienced. I want you to think about that moment that when the first time you heard the gospel and that moment when you responded in repentance and faith. I want you to think about that moment. I want you to think about the person who told you about Jesus. Now I want you to imagine if the person who shared Jesus with you never shared it. I want you to think about how Jesus has literally transformed your life. And how, if you had never heard the gospel, your life would look different. Now, I want you to think about that person or those people that God's put in your path, that you know don't know Jesus. What will their lives be like if they never experience Jesus? What might their life be like if they're changed by Jesus? Every single one of us has somebody that we can tell. We can go wide by sharing the gospel with someone. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the good news of your Son, Jesus. God, in this moment, many of us are reflecting on how different our lives are because Jesus has changed us. And at the same time, God, we're beginning to think about the people that you've placed in our lives that we know need Jesus. Father, burden us for those people. Inspire us to share your gospel with those people. And Father, we pray for what only you can do, change those people. Be with us now as we respond to you. We ask all of this in Jesus' name.